All right. Thank you, ladies. We're going to do a little different this morning. Normally, I would be down teaching the Sunday school lesson. We have Brother Tom Knickerbocker with us, and he, of course, works with HEPS Ministry, and he's no stranger to our church, and I think he even spoke in Senior Patriots yesterday. And good to have you, Brother Tom. I'm going to ask him to come. He's going to perhaps show us a very quick little video on the missions, and then we have a missionary with us that we've supported for about 9 years. Brother Silas, and we'll hear from him a little bit this morning. So, Brother Tom, I'm going to turn it over to you right here now, if you will. Okay.
Thank you, Pastor. We are glad to be here this morning, and we're going to get right to it. The video you're going to see in just a moment here is kind of what my wife and I are doing with HELP Ministries. We're one of your missionaries, so we need to report to you every now and then. And I think it'll be a blessing to see what God's doing around the world and some of the part that we can play in that. It's always a privilege to serve the Lord. You know that? Don't ever make it an old thing. Keep it fresh and new and exciting. Because one day we're going home, we're going to rest from our labors, and our works will follow us. And it'll be worth it all. We see Jesus. So we're going to show this video right now if they're ready. Okay.
Isaiah 66:18 says, I will gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come and see my glory. In verse 19 it says, and they shall declare my glory among the Gentiles. Hi, I'm Tom Knickerbocker. My wife Barbara and I are missionaries with HELP Ministries. Since the early 1990s, God used Dr. Scotty Drake to found HELP Ministries and reach into over 70 countries around the world. HELP, which stands for Help Evangelize Lost People, now supports over 500 national pastors as they endeavor to win people to Christ, train national leadership, and plant New Testament Baptist churches throughout their countries. We at HELP Ministries partner with the national pastors to raise monthly support to meet their ministry needs. Special projects include raising money for buildings, purchasing Bibles, tracts, books, and training materials for their churches, Bible institutes, and theological libraries. Bicycles, motorcycles, and donkeys are donated to help these pastors with their transportation needs. The means of raising support for these national pastors has been our HELP Ministries missions conferences, which we conduct in the spring and fall of each year. In these special meetings, American churches are introduced to experienced Baptist pastors from around the world who are brought here to share their testimonies, sing, and preach the Word of God. Hearts are stirred, and there is a revival spirit in many of the church services as people witness what God is doing in scores of third world countries. We have made it possible that a church of any size can have a missions conference. All we ask a church to provide are meals for the missionaries, either before or after each service. And then, of course, take a love offering each night, which is then sent to HELP Ministries office at the conclusion of each conference. The love offerings help us meet the needs of cost of flying the missionaries back and forth to America, and then providing transportation and food for them while they are here. We transport the national pastors each night to and from the church services, so there are no transportation or lodging costs for the hosting church. We believe that if a country or people group is to be entirely reached with the gospel, it will be done and must be done by nationals. Why not help to support the national to reach his own people? He has the language, culture, customs, and knowledge to get the job done, and friends, he's doing it. The key to the success of these conferences are the state representatives who contact pastors, schedule meetings, and arrange for housing and then transportation of the pastors to and from the churches. A HELP representative can be likened unto many of those who helped and aided the Apostle Paul, one of the first missionaries of the early church. In his 13 epistles, Paul lists a total of 125 people whom he suggested he could not do without in the ministry. They assisted him, helped him, labored with him, and all were beloved of him. They brought him books, clothing, and money. They provided him meals and lodging. They delivered his letters to the churches and ministered to him while he was in prison. Likewise, as help representatives, we are trying to help these worthy servants of God to raise monthly prayer and financial support, as well as provide the necessary tools to effectively carry out their ministries. Help representatives introduced the national pastor and the American church so they can partner together for the cause of world evangelism. The Lord has opened up numerous opportunities for us to help train and invest in the lives of many national pastors and their churches. First of all, while national pastors are here for conferences, the Lord has enabled me to develop and teach them a college course that includes a biblical basis for ministry, God's design for marriage and child training, as well as music in the church. The feedback I've received from the pastors is that it is instructive, encouraging, and helpful. Many of our national pastors have told me that they will take the material and teach it to their Bible college students back in their countries. Secondly, God has allowed us to take three trips to three different African nations to preach, teach, and visit new churches being started. This is for the purpose of teaching, encouraging, and providing accountability for both the national pastor and help ministries. While there, I was able to preach at a college graduation, visit new churches being started, and deliver Bibles to pastors. One of our missionaries, who has been a college professor in Togo, West Africa for many years, told me that what his country needs from Americans is education. My desire is to visit many other countries, as well as to provide more intensive training in the work of the ministry for these dear national pastors. After preaching for over 30 years, we have organized and cataloged over 1,500 textual and topical sermons, which include over 3,000 pages of outlines and illustrations. These are made available to the national pastors to be downloaded on their laptops for future reference. Also, we have made available 5 CDs of original music, which can be a blessing to them and their ministries. Writing informative and training materials for help ministries has been an added opportunity. The book, Reaching the Nations with the Nationals, highlights the history, policies, and practices of help ministries and is made available free of charge to pastors. Finally, my wife and I have traveled here in the United States with some of our national pastors, introducing help ministries to scores of churches in Florida, New York, Pennsylvania, and Texas. There is a growing desire on the part of many independent Baptist preachers and churches to get involved in the work of world missions by helping support national pastors and hosting help ministries conferences. While traveling, we raise special monies for Bibles, buildings, and literature. Friend, will you help us as we endeavor to represent the many national pastors who count on us to be their voice? Just as the Apostle Paul encouraged the churches to meet the needs of his helpers who represented him, so we would ask you to do the same on our behalf. We would greatly appreciate your daily prayer support and monthly financial partnership for the sake of worldwide effort of reaching the nations with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you. And may God bless you.
Declare His glory among the nations. Show forth salvation to First of all, I'm thankful to God for bringing me at the church that have been faithfully supporting me for 9 years. I'm Silas from Myanmar. I was spiritually born when I was 17 years old back in 1987. Now, I leave you a guess, how old am I? Then right after my conversion, I dedicated my whole life to serve him. After spending some years in Bible schools, I've moved in 3 Bible schools. The Lord laid me a burden to establish a Bible-believing church right among the Buddhist circle. Since the past 12 years, I started a church called Yangkung Revival Baptist Church right at the center of our capital city. Now the Lord blessed me with 130 baptized members. But living in a Buddhist country, we just don't have the right to build religious building or Christian building, namely the church inside the cities. Not only in the capital city, but in other cities as well. So we got to get together in a small apartment house type. So we just don't have enough room to get 130 members together at once. So we break our services into 2 on Sunday. And still then, the service is overflowing. There's possibility for more converts. Why? Because in Buddhism, they know that there's no hope at all. So they are longing after the pure hope, genuine hope. So people are coming in to the church. I'm thinking to start another new section. So I'm going to have 3 service sections in one Sunday. Please pray for that. And 2 years after establishing that my main church, we started sending inland missionaries. Now we have 9 missionaries. Out of 9 missionaries, 6 of them have been running their local churches. Some of them have 50 members. Some of them have 30 members. They all are also growing in number as well. Amen. And some of you might have known that our country is a colorful country. There are 14 states. And those 14 states, out of 14 states, 9 major members, tribes, exhibit certain areas. Then we don't mingle each other that much. So when you pass through one state to another, it seems like passing through one country to another. We have one official language that's called Burmese language. That's the language that Adoniram Judson spoke and translated the Bible into. But that language is not spoken by over 50, let's say 60% of them. I mean, only 40% of the people, the population, understands national official language, because all those states have their own language. So it means that we need Bible. Judson's translation is perfect, but most of them don't still need, can't still understand it. So me and my partners have been doing on Bible translation out of received text and King James Bible since the past 10 years. Now it is to be done. My burden is that I was brought from a so-called Christian state nearby India. That's 100% Christians. But when I observe and when I see our Christian life, we don't meet as we ought, we should. We don't do what the Lord wants us to do simply because we just don't have the true Bible. We just have a Bible translation out of today's English version. It's clear enough that when you use corrupted Bible, it will use corrupt life. When you use perverse Bible, it will result only perverse lifestyle. So when the Bible, if this pure Bible comes out, Christians in the life of Christians in our country will be prospered again and will do more works for the Lord. Please pray for this literature work as well. Thank you so much. God bless you all.
Tell you what, it's a blessing to travel with these men. And Brother Silas is a student of the Word of God. He has spent many, many hours, sometimes half the night, translating and writing. He's writing a book right now on the dangers of neo-evangelicalism. Now, we fought that battle some years ago, didn't we? But they're just starting to fight it now, and because they're just catching up to where we've been. And there's a lot of people in that country, a lot of charismatics and so forth in that country that are bringing false doctrines and so forth in. So he's got to correct that for his people. And let me ask you, for the translation, in fact, they're almost done with it. They'll start printing it early next year. And how many million people will this affect in Burma and surrounding countries? Okay, so about 2,100,000 people. His translation is going to affect, and actually there are two Burmese churches over here in Tampa. We were there 2 weeks ago on Saturday. They had a big meeting, and we had a great time there, and our brother got to preach. Now, you noticed he was halting a little bit here between statements. It's because he's trying to process the English language, because he's been thinking in his language all week long. But I'm telling you what, he preached at this meeting and he just let it rip. I never saw that side of him before. He's very quiet and cool, but he wasn't that day. He was, boy, just a ball of fire. And that's just a wonderful thing to see God use him. You know, some people say, well, we don't want these nationals in our church because we can't understand them. Well, I'd rather struggle hearing a man like this try to speak English, knowing that when he goes home, he's not going to have a bit of problem reaching the people he works with. Amen? I'd rather have a guy struggle to understand him, and we do. I struggle with all the guys trying to understand them. But I'll tell you what, I know when they go back home, they're preaching in their languages, they're reaching their people, they're starting churches, starting Bible institutes, and doing a great work around the world. And we thank God for what he's doing through Help Ministries. And we're excited about what's going on. We want you to pray for Brother Scotty Drake. He's leaving tomorrow for South America, and he'll be going to about three different countries down there, taking a lot of things down there to the people there. Let me just read a couple of verses for you here. Matthew chapter 10. This has been a real blessing to me. There's a whole message I preach from this passage that, you know, what it takes to be a missions-minded church. And you have in verse 36 of chapter 9, Jesus saw the multitudes. We need to be a seeing church. He was moved with compassion. We need to be a sensing church. In verse 38, he says, pray therefore the Lord of the harvest. We need to be a supplicating church. And then in verse 5 of chapter 10, he sends them forth. We need to be a sending church. I want to focus on verse 9. We need to be a supporting church. And that's what missions is all about for most of us, for Americans. Most of us will never go to a foreign country. Most of us will never leave our shores to go to be a missionary somewhere. And there's nothing wrong with that, because God hasn't called everybody to go. But he has called all of us to send someone in our place. If we can't go, we can send somebody. And he sends his apostles out, 12 of them, sends them out, and he says something very unusual here. In verse 9, he says, provide neither gold nor silver, this is Matthew 10:9, nor brass in your purses, don't take any extra money with you, nor scrip for your journey, that's luggage or a bag, for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. And so he tells him, he says, I don't want you to take anything extra with you when you go. Now, he doesn't repeat this really ever again. In fact, I'm going to show you a passage where he changes what he says here for a specific reason. But why would he tell his disciples, don't take any extra money with you, don't take any luggage with you, just one coat's enough, one pair of shoes is enough? He said, because I believe this, that when God sends us out to do the work for God, he will take care of us. God provides, and those disciples, the first time they went out, they needed to learn that lesson, because there would be a time when Jesus was not there, and they would their needs would be provided for. Now, if you would, quick turn over to Luke chapter 22, Luke 22, and I'm going to show you where he changes this a little bit, because this definitely is not for today. We got missionaries who are trying to raise support to go to countries to share the gospel with people. And, you know, your pastor doesn't stand up here and address all the missionaries and say, now, don't take any money with you. Don't take any clothes with you. Don't take any luggage with you. God will take care of you. Because here, Jesus brings this passage out of Matthew into Luke chapter 22 toward the end, just before he goes to the cross, and he prepares them for the future. In verse 35, Luke 22, 35, he said unto them, when I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked ye anything? Boy, wouldn't you like to know what they said? Read on. And they said, nothing. God, Jesus, you took good care of us. We have no complaints. All right, that's a good testimony, isn't it? I can stand before you, and Pastor Carter can too. Now, through the years, you look back, you see God, you have a big problem, a big need, and God meets that need. And does it through his people, touching hearts that are hungry for God, hearts that are tender to send out people around the world in their place. God will meet the needs of his people. And then he says, you've received nothing, you lost nothing, did you? Yeah, everything was fine. In verse 36, then said he unto them, but now, right, circle that, but now. He that hath a purse, let him take it. And likewise a scrip, that means luggage. One of our national pastors has gotten so much stuff. Brother Michael, we are counting up. He's shipping 8 bags home. He's got something for everybody in Africa, I think. And we kind of joke with him about this, because he just can't get enough stuff, you know. And then he has a hard time figuring out how he's going to get it home. And we're done helping him now. He's down his own. But, you know, I'll tell you what. God says, take your scrip, take your luggage now. He that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. You need to protect yourself. See, before he says, don't take a staff. They use a staff to beat off wild animals and robbers. But God says, at this point, this first time I'm sending you out, I will protect you as well. I will take care of you. I'll provide your needs. I'll protect you. And now he says, provide for yourself. Protect yourself. Make preparations when you go out into the foreign field, and I will take care of you as well. For I say unto you that this that is written must be accomplished in me. And he was reckoned among the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end. And they said, Lord, here we have 2 swords. And he said to them, it is enough. You know, it's a great thing as a church to be a ascending church. It's fun to send out missionaries. Wow, we've got missionaries all over the world. It's quite another thing to keep them there. Quite another thing to support them while they're there. And I want to thank this church for being faithful and supporting us. We really depend on your church and many other churches that support us. So thank God for that. It keeps us focused on our work that we have to do. And that's what it does for the missionary over there. He can focus on his work. A lot of our national pastors tell me this. They say, you know, we're not here to raise money for ourselves. We're here to raise money for the men that we are trying to train and send out. And then after we send them out, they look to us, the mother church, now to help them get started. And so we're helping support these new churches till they get self-supporting. And then they're sending out missionaries, and we send out more missionaries. And so that's the way the job gets done, churches starting churches. But we have a wonderful opportunity to get involved in that. And just ask God what he'd have you do this year through Landmark Baptist Church. You remember us here. This is what God's design, purpose, is that our tithe is what we owe, and missions is what we sow. Amen? And it's great to sow around the world and be a vehicle that God can use. And Chan McMillan, he always says, God will give more through you than he will to you. Amen? Thank you, Lord, for your wonderful goodness to us. Bless, we pray, the next service in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Knickenbocker and Silas. We'll hear perhaps again tonight from them, but we praise the Lord that if you could see it from his viewpoint, we're getting the word around the world. That's what we're told to do, send the gospel to all the nations, and you get just a little taste of that right now. Our time's up for Sunday school. We'll have about 8 or 9 minute break.